Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We are Jeremy and Joe. Pencils down. NFL trade deadline has passed. It is done. It is over. Now, sometimes we find out about these trades a little bit later, so maybe it will be reported after the fact. But as we stand right now, Joe, Nick Caserio did nothing.
Nothing.
Nada. Zilch. Absolutely nothing.
Is that accurate?
Yeah. Well, at least according to reports, Nick. Doesn't know what a window is. Doesn't know what drafting for need is. And Will and Dylan, son of a gun, Nick Caserio does nothing at the deadline? That's very unlike him. That's unlike him, Joe.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. I thought we would see some kind of move at the deadline, especially with as much action as we saw. And seven trades on the day, because one just came through at the last minute with the Chargers and the Saints. But they do
beat
nothing.
The buzzer.
Yeah, right at the buzzer. So just a quiet deadline. Didn't buy, didn't sell. This is our team.
Isn't that odd for Nick?
I mean,
sounded like Seth the Flow, by the way. This is our team. This is
our Colts.
These are our Colts.
Guys, he's been canceled, so I don't know if we can.
He has not been canceled.
He had to apologize.
That was a week that he had to apologize for saying that he wanted to break Rodgers' back.
And I agree.
So what?
No, I mean, Nick mostly makes his moves at the deadline, on draft day. So I guess we shouldn't be too surprised. But I thought we might see a little action from the Texans today. You're in a weird spot where your season's not totally over. So do you want to try to solve some of your problems to make a playoff push? Or do you want to move on from guys and embrace the suck for a little bit? And they said, do neither.
You're not legally allowed to say that.
Why?
Do I have to explain it?
No, I guess.
You're legally not allowed to say embrace the suck.
Why?
Because you didn't have the copyright on that.
Only I was on the show.
Only two people do.
I was on the show.
You're just running the board. I mean,
it doesn't matter.
Turning knobs and pushing buttons.
I was there.
I was on the show.
I was there.
You were there. I mean, you watched the show. I wouldn't say you were on the show. I'm just kidding. Is there any chance that Nick Caserio had a mandate? Hey, do not touch our team?
I think it's possible. hey, man, we don't know if you're going to be the GM next year. Let's not trade a bunch of draft capital for guys of which you will not be here to sign contract extensions to going forward. I think everything's on the table for why they did or did not make any moves today.
Yeah. Just interesting. We'll get to more of the Texans' perspective of the NFL trade deadline in a minute. But a very action-packed day. Seven trades, I think, breaks a record for the most trades on trade deadline day in the NFL, which used to be a very boring trade deadline, has really picked up the pace over the last several years. Today was insane. Like, the star power that you had traded today, if you haven't heard. Sauce Gardner has been traded by the New York Jets to the Indianapolis Colts for not one, but two first-round draft picks and A.D. Mitchell, who was a second-rounder a couple of years ago. They didn't stop there, the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Jake Asman can't control himself right now. Quinnen Williams has been traded by the Jets to the Dallas Cowboys for their second-rounder in the next draft and the first-rounder in the 2027 draft. And that first-rounder is a conditional first-rounder, too. They get the best first rounder between the Cowboys and the Packers. Some other trades too that we'll get to. Shahid was traded to the Seattle, which I kind of like under the radar, like low key like that move. But which of these blockbusters do you want to start with, Joe?
Sauce Gardner.
Okay, what do you think?
Crazy. He signed an extension 4 months ago, and they just moved on from him. I mean, this is Aaron Glenn putting his stamp on the Jets franchise of saying which guys are not his kind of guys. He traded two of his biggest pieces, and I know they get draft capital for the long haul, and they need a quarterback, and they need other things. But to trade Sauce Gardner, to trade your best defensive lineman, to be then sitting on Garrett Wilson and saying he's untradeable, I think it's a good day for the Jets, but it's also kind of strange in a way to not just go all the way in and kind of do it with, you know, a half measure. But the fact that he's in the division now, it's just wild. I never would have expected Sauce Gardner would be traded.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with his guys notion. Like, I don't know if I buy that. Like, I have a difficult time thinking that Quinnen Williams, who's a very good defensive player, was like three-time first-teamer, Sauce Gardner, who is a very good corner, and we always have the Sauce-Stingley debate for obvious reasons. Like, it's hard for me to imagine that those aren't Aaron Glenn guys. I don't know that for sure, but I think this is more about a rebuild than it is your guys. Like, Sauce is going to make a good amount of money. He still has a few years left in his prime. But you get two first-rounders for him is pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. Quinnen Williams, he's probably getting close to the end of his prime. Like, he's starting to get close to the past prime, and maybe already is past his prime. Still very, very good. But people get offended whenever you say somebody's past their prime. It's just a little bit over the apex of their career. Don't freak out. I think this was more about the rebuild. I think this is the Jets stocking up draft picks. Like, you're not winning any games with Sauce Gardner. You're not winning any games with Quinnen Williams. So just totally restack the deck and worry about rebuilding your roster over the next 2 to 3 years. I really like what the Jets are doing, actually.
I do, too. I mean, like, you have to at some point, like, you're, like, this franchise has gone nowhere. You've brought in some star players offensively and defensively, and you can't win with them. You don't have a quarterback. Like, you have to at some point build for the future. And now they're doing that. And they've been trying for a decade plus, trying to build for the future. They've taken how many first-round quarterbacks and missed? Like, it doesn't mean this is going to work out for them. But if they're going to be this version of the Jets, why not just blow it up? Like, there's nothing wrong with that move. So I think this is a good day for the Jets, frankly. Now, you got to hit on your draft picks. And are you going to get a player as good as Sauce Gardner in the draft? Probably not, but if they play a more impactful position, then it's probably worth it in the long run. So I like this day for the Jets. A little confused about the Cowboys, though, to be honest.
Okay. What do you think of the Colts pick, though? Like, what do you think of the Colts side of this trade?
I mean, you go all in. Why not?
Yeah. I don't – you know, I started – like, it. Whenever you first read it, it's like, man, like, that seems steep. And, like, A.D. Mitchell was a throw-in. Like, the dude was a healthy and active a lot of weeks because they just quit on him. He did nothing last year. He had an opportunity this year, made two boneheaded plays. Like, they quit on A.D. Mitchell. Mitchell was a throw-in. They were probably going to get rid of him, you know, at the end of the season anyways. So he was more of a throw-in. Now, I think it's smart for the Jets to get him as a throw-in. Like, he's obviously – he has high potential. He has a chance. Why not get him as a throw-in if it's not going to cost you anything else? So it makes sense for the Jets to acquire him. You know, whenever you first read it on the surface, it's like, yeah, it's too much. Two first-round draft picks for Sauce Gardner, that's too much. And then I started to wonder, and I actually tweeted this at Jeremy Branham, because I think Sauce and Stingley are comparable. Like, and we could argue who's better. I bet you people in Houston are pretty consensusly making up a word, would pick Stingley. I think if you ask New York, I think the consensus would be Sauce. If you look at their Pro Football Focus scores this year, which no one likes to do, Sauce Gardner is actually grading out quite a bit better than Derek Stingley. And I'm not having the conversation or the debate, which corner is better. But whenever I ask myself, would I trade Derek Stingley for two first-rounders, my answer would be no. I wouldn't do that because I think Stingley's an all-pro corner. I think Sauce is an all-pro corner, not year in, year out, but have the, you know, the potential and the ceiling to do that. And I wouldn't do that if I were the Texans. I wouldn't trade Stingley for two first-round draft picks, especially first-round draft picks that project to be late. We know the Colts draft pick this year will be late. Next year, you know, we'll see. We'll see how next year goes. But if I'm not trading Stingley for those two first, I don't mind the Colts trading two firsts for Sauce. You get a proven player. You have one of the best records in the AFC. You think that those draft picks are going to be late in the first round. I don't mind this from the Colts either.
No, I think this is a good move for the Colts. Like you have late. You're hoping for the next 2 years late round picks. If you're in the late 20s this year and you're hoping to replicate that success next year, then you are in a good position to acquire a corner in the moment. Like, I think the biggest mistake in drafts and free agency is acquiring positions and players that are heavily priced when you're not ready to win. They're ready to win right now. You go for it. You've got your quarterback under contract only for this season, so who knows what's going to happen with Daniel Jones. I think we all assume he's going to be back with Indianapolis next year. But you push all your chips in. You go for it this year. You have very few opportunities. You're in a year in which the Kansas City Chiefs at this moment, at the deadline, are not a playoff team. So go for it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a heavy price. Yeah, but if you're right about your roster, it's two late picks in the 20s. Like, what is it going to hurt you? You're not going to get a player or even two players that equal the level of Sauce Gardner. And you throw in A.D. Mitchell, who you're probably right there, probably going to cut anyways at this point. So this is a totally good move by the Colts. It's aggressive, but I like it.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Like, if and that's why I asked Twitter, because I think you're a hypocrite if you wouldn't trade Stingley for two firsts, but then you're also criticizing the Colts for overpaying. I think it's hypocritical to do that. And the pushback would be, well, Stingley's on another level than Sauce.
He's not.
I don't think that he is. I think Stingley's better than Sauce. I don't think he's at a different level than Sauce Gardner.
Yeah,
which I would point to, well, we're probably being a little bit homerish whenever you have that stance.
No, but you're talking about, what, probably two of the top, like, five corners in the NFL?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Okay, so then, like, what's the level drop-off? Like, Sertan's on his own tier, and then that next group feels like it's Stingley, Sauce, in some order, are part of that conversation.
Yeah.
So even if Stingley is better, it's the number two corner versus the number three corner in the NFL, if that's the way you want to look at it. It's not a huge drop-off.
No, I don't. And I think that's where the hypocrisy comes in. Like, if you're saying the Colts overspent, but then in the same breath, you're saying, no, I wouldn't trade Stingley for two first. Well, I think that you're being a hypocritical homer, quite frankly, because the Colts are in a better spot than you.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Colts are 7-2. Like, the Colts are going to be a playoff team. They're going to win the division. So that's where I kind of find a little bit of hypocrisy, and I don't stand for hypocrisy. You mentioned you don't like the Quinnen Williams trade to the Cowboys. Why not, Joe?
I mean, they've got $60 million now locked into three defensive tackles. Feels like an odd way to build your roster there, Jeremy. I mean, they showed last night they're not a player away from being a good team. They're not good. They're not going to be good. Their defense wasn't even, like, they only scored 17 points last night, right? They're not ready to win. So you have draft capital for the next 2 years now because you trade away Micah Parsons, and then you just bring in another expensive player whose, you know, window of being a great player is much shorter than Micah Parsons. I just would have stood pat at this point. But, like, it's Jerry. He's going to go all in. It's good that it's not this year's first, I guess. So you're betting on being good next year and it being a late first-round pick. But I just don't quite understand why you would acquire a player on the defensive line, a second player this offseason, when you also have needs elsewhere. Your secondary is not that good. Your linebacker core is not that good. You could have added elsewhere. Why'd you add another defensive lineman? They were getting the quarterback.
They had a linebacker, Joe.
Oh,
they had a linebacker from Cincinnati.
Logan Wilson.
He wasn't playing on a bad Cincinnati defense. He's gonna fix all the Cowboys' problems. I really like Quinnen Williams, the player. I'm a big fan. I think he is very, very good. I think he is a stud. I think he's dynamite. I don't think the Cowboys are good enough to be making that trade. That's where
agreed.
I land. I have a token friend, a token Cowboy friend, and he's like, I like this trade. I'm like, why? Like, you're as delusional and as senile as Jerry Jones. Why do you like this trade? And again, I understand the love of the player. Quinnen Williams is a freak. I think he's very, very good. Now, how many more years of his prime does Quinnen Williams have? I think that's up for debate. And then your second-round pick this year is going to be a premium pick. Like, that's probably going to be a top 12 second-round pick. So we're looking at a top 45 pick there. And then you're trading the best of the Green Bay and the Dallas picks that you have, first-round picks, in 2027. So, like, even if they're both playoff teams, which I don't think so. Like, I don't think the Dallas Cowboys are a playoff team this year. Look what happened yesterday to Arizona. I don't think they're a playoff team next year. So now you're looking at a draft pick that's going to be in the top 18 minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trading a top 45 pick and a top 18 pick for a defensive lineman that still very, very good, but doesn't really align with their window of winning. It doesn't make sense to me from a Dallas perspective. The only sense that I make of it is Jerry Jones is very, very old, and he wants a good football team, like, now. So, like, I get it from that point of view, but I don't think this is in the best interest of the Dallas Cowboys.
Nope, this is one of those where you want Stephen Jones to step in like he stepped in. I mean, unless he was on board with this, which maybe he was, but, like, this feels like a Jerry move just based on what was happening last night. I mean, Jerry Jones is gloating during the broadcast or before the broadcast that he's got a trade in place and he's ready to make it. And then he kind of walked it back a little bit after the game, but then he goes out and makes two trades today. And I think the Williams trade is the one that he was referencing last night, that he was ready to make a splash move, and he did it. Like Jerry accomplished what he likes to do, which is he keeps the Dallas Cowboys in the headlines, good or bad. People are talking about the Cowboys because of a move they made on deadline day.
713-780-ESPN. What do you think of the deadline trades around the NFL? We'll get to the Texans' perspective of the deadline today, which was just kind of a limp day for Nick Caserio. He was Milhouse playing in the playground all by himself. 713-780-3776. A busy show. We'll talk about all the NFL stuff going on. We'll touch on Cowboys-Cardinals last night. What a terrible football game, huh? Rockets, they beat their Interstate 45 rival. That was cool, even though they didn't play all that well. Cash them or trash them, plenty to get to. 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. You can watch us on TikTok at ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio there. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham. You can find us on Twitter at ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. And we're on YouTube, too. You can find us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Other trades in the NFL, two blockbusters. What'd you make of them? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, and it's ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You need to get your hands on Higgins Boat Rum. What are you waiting for? Do you like high-quality tastes, flavors, spirits? Of course you do. Get your hands on a bottle of Higgins Boat Rum. It's rum anchored in time. It's known as the Texas Bourbon Drinker's Rum. It's why I love it so much. It's bold, it's smooth, and it's even steeped in history. Honors the greatest generation. Perfect on the rocks, perfect on a big rock, perfect neat. It's perfect with your Texas-inspired cocktails, and even your classics, too. I've been drinking an old-fashioned with it. It's awesome. Your Manhattan, you got the classics. How about a Cuba Libre? You can try that. It's eggnog season, too. Yeah, it's perfect for everything. Higgins Boat Rum pays tribute to our military heritage as well. It's named after the iconic landing craft that turned the tide in World War II. Higgins Boat Rum donates 10% of profits from every bottle, not just a few, every bottle to Camp Hope, which supports our veterans. So you're doing your part in honoring heroes with every pour of Higgins Boat Rum. It uses the Prosecco craft technology, too, so you know that it's going to be smooth. You know it's going to have that enhanced natural flavor. The aromas are going to be top-notch, and also all those harsh elements are gone. All that stuff that makes you feel bad in the morning. Follow Higgins Boat Rum on all their socials. You're going to get tasty cocktail ideas. I saw one the other day with the eggnog. If that's your lane, you're going to see behind-the-scenes stories, live updates, too, of Higgins Boat Rum. If you're going out to the Rice Homecoming this weekend, make sure you stop by the Higgins Boat Rum tailgate. They're going to have a good time out there, and you're going to have a good time out there with them as well. Premium top-shelf rum at a great price. You can get your hands on one right now at Total Wine in Baybrook, or just go visit them online. HigginsBoatRum.com. Shipping to 48 states across the country. Send it to your comrades. Send it to your best friend. Whatever the case may be, pick up a bottle. HigginsBoatRum.com. Not just a drink, but a tribute.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
To the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
YouTube TV customers get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. 713-780-3776. I like this text from one of our junkies. Get embarrassed by the Cardinals in primetime and then trade your future. Interesting move. Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but then it's like, well, it's Jerry Jones. So anything is possible if Jerry Jones is your owner. But, yeah, interesting text there, interesting perspective. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Caesar, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, man?
Sports, fellas, double rods. Happy NFL trade deadline day to those who celebrate. I have a comment and a question. First, I know with the middle of the day, 12 to whatever show, they have the Rich Eisen or whatever on there, so I was kind of listening to that. But while the trades were going down live, while he was talking as far as the Jets, just the despair in his voice was amazing, and I just wanted to make a comment about that. But I had a question. I have a buddy of mine, it's a big Texans fan, and we were talking today, and he kind of made the analogy that with all the expectation of the season before the year started and everything like that, as far as what the Texans were going to do, where we are now, when days like today happen, it's kind of like that, the poor kid during Christmas and everyone else is opening their gifts and having fun and everything like that, but he's just kind of sitting around looking at everyone else play with their new toys and get excited and everything. So I just wanted to kind of get you guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean it was a boring day from the Texans at this point. Like I think like it's you hit on there a little bit. Like the season's been below expectations, and I think that's why people thought there'd be some kind of movement. I don't know if I'm disappointed, Jeremy. Honestly, I think it probably was the right decision ultimately to not add anyone. I would have liked them to try to trade some pieces away, but at the end of the day, like I'm not super disappointed that they didn't do that either.
I was kind of reserving thought here, but Caesar took us into, which I love how Caesar he went sports on us. Is there anything else that reveals your identity more than that? I love it too. I would love to do it. I just feel like it would be copyright infringement. I don't feel like it's our lane and our right to do that. But hey, if you want to call in and let us know how you formally identified, feel free. We have nothing but respect for that. I don't like it at all. I'm not a fan. The Texans should have been sellers today. They should have been sellers. And I don't – there's so many reasons that I think this way, and I'll get into them. I don't like half measures at all. Like, to me, it's your 2 feet in or your 2 feet out. I hate sitting right on the fence. It's very uncomfortable. It's not a good place to be. You're kind of stuck in this purgatory, and I think it's terrible. Either you're trying to win now or you're trying to win in the future years. Doing nothing means you're just kind of accepting mediocrity, and then at the same time, you're doing nothing for the future. I don't like that at all. I think it's bad organizational philosophy. I don't think that – look, just play out the math here. Look, I get that the Texans have been close, and they've almost won some games, and they've been very close to teams that are going to go to the playoffs. They also have one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL when it comes from a talent point of view that's going to limit how far they can go, even if they had some miraculous run to make the playoffs. I haven't ran Branham graphs here in a little bit, but I have to imagine the Texans' chances of making the playoffs are, what, 15% tops? Probably bordering 10%, maybe even single digits? I don't know. Maybe you guys know. But it ain't good. It ain't good. The Texans' chances of making the playoffs ain't good. So doing nothing, it's kind of like, well, we want to see if this roster can make a run. Okay, well, you're trying to go up against the odds then. Like, you're trying to make these insurmountable odds go into your favor. So I don't like it from that perspective. Secondly, if you do have this magical run, what's their ceiling? Do they win a playoff game and then get ousted in the divisional round? That seems far-fetched. That, to me, seems far-fetched just saying it. I hadn't even thought about it, but saying it. It seems far-fetched to me, Joe, that the Texans have a run in them where they get to even just the divisional round, which is where they were the last 2 years. So because I think their odds of making the playoffs are low, because I think their ceiling is incredibly low, why are you keeping your roster together? Why aren't you trading pieces that aren't going to be here in a year? Why aren't you worried about your future? There's also the whole thought, not even a thought, it's reality, that you're going to have a lot of money tied up to very few players. Will Anderson, 95% chance he gets a contract extension this offseason. CJ Stroud, we'll see. People feel some sort of way about that. You've already paid Stingley top money from the corner position. You've paid Jalen Petrie top money for the nickel position. Who knows about some of these other young players that are going to come down the pike at some point. So your cap pie is being taken up by few players, which if that's the case, what do you need to do? You need to get productivity from your draft class, from your rookies in the years going forward, and you did nothing today to enhance the chances of helping that draft class or those draft classes in the future. So doing nothing is just like this half measure of NFL football purgatory, and I don't like it. I would have been selling. I would not have been buying, but I would have preferred buying over sitting on your hands and doing absolutely nothing.
So is Daniil Hunter the guy you would have liked to see get traded today?
Daniil Hunter, we could have a conversation about. Like, he has,
because that's,
he has
like
another year
value
of his contract, though. Like, he would have gotten you the most, but like, he at least has another year on his contract, isn't he? Yeah, he's under contract next season as well. So like, at least Daniil Hunter is supposed to be part of your plans next season. Like, I think he would have gotten you the most, Joe. Like, I would have been shopping Daniil Hunter. Like, I don't think he would have got you like a Quinnen Williams deal. Like, there's no way about that. But I think I would have traded him for
a second.
Well, definitely a second. I might have traded him for a third. I might have traded him for a third. Like, he's going to be 32 next year, still very, very good. Next year is going to be the last year he's with the Houston Texans. You're paying Will Anderson top defensive end money this year. How much can you afford to pay two defensive ends and then also be mindful of the rest of your roster to have a balanced roster? I would have seriously considered a third for Danielle Hunter. But it's not just Danielle Hunter. Like, let's eliminate Danielle Hunter from the conversation. And look, I don't think that the Texans have a lot of tradable pieces, but they have some tradable pieces. Like, I think you could have gotten a late round draft pick for Christian Kirk. Maybe it's not a lot, but why not do it? Yeah. You don't want Christian Kirk to play anyways, so why not do that?
Yeah, Christian Kirk is one of the names that I thought of. Honestly, of all the guys that you could have moved and gotten something for, he'd be at the top of my list because you could have got some kind of value for him. Whether you're giving up a sixth round pick, or they don't have a sixth round pick, but you're giving up. Maybe you're giving up a fifth-round pick and you're getting a fourth back in return with Christian Kirk, you know, with moving away from Christian Kirk. Like, that would have been fine with me. But outside of that, like, I just don't think they also have that many pieces
Disagree.
To sell. Like, you're going to sell, like, Christian Harris?
Yeah. No, I don't think Christian Harris can get you anything. But I was going to go through him, Joe. Christian Kirk, I think, could have gotten you a draft pick. And look, like, you don't want to have 15 draft picks going into next year. Why not? You can combine those draft picks and trade up. We know Nick Caserio likes to do that, assuming that Nick Caserio is going to be the general manager. So doing nothing ticks me off, quite frankly. But Christian Kirk would have been an option. And I don't think you would have gotten great return for Christian Kirk. I think the scenario you threw out is actually probably overvaluing him. I think you could have gotten a six-rounder for him. But cool, trade 2 6 for a fifth that helps you out in the future. Dalton Schultz is in the final year of his contract. Like, Dalton Schultz has had a good season. Do I think you could have gotten a mid-round draft pick for Dalton Schultz? No, probably not. But do I think you could have gotten a fifth or sixth? Yeah, I think you could have for Dalton Schultz. So there's two offensive players right off the rip. Like, we threw out the idea of Danielle Hunter, which, like, I get that. Like, Danielle Hunter is still a very, very good football player. He's under contract next year. I personally would have done it. I understand the pushback, and we can eliminate him from the conversation because that's kind of a different conversation altogether. But how about some of these other defensive linemen? You don't think Danico Autry could have gotten you anything? He's in the final year of his contract. He could have gotten you a fifth, sixth round draft pick. I don't know how you feel about these defensive tackles, but these defensive tackles have kind of been plug and play these last few years. Some of them are veterans. I think you might have been able to trade one, maybe two, for a late round draft pick. So I just, the inactivity to me is worrisome because, A, it's like, well, we're not going to add to a 3-5 football team where our odds of making the playoffs are slim. So, like, okay. That's a thought, and you're telling us that thought that you have based on your actions. But at the same time, it's we're not going to make any moves with our future in mind, even though we're kind of conceding the season, more like let's see where it goes over the next few weeks, but not being mindful of the future where you could really use some help. I think it was a bad trade deadline. To me, it was a failure for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Like, I think they should have gone one way or the other. I think sitting on your hands doesn't really make sense. Like even if you can't, like, do I think it's necessary to, you know, bring in a bunch of special teams players for good players now? I mean, it'd be nice for sure. It's just I'm shocked at the fact that they just kept the status quo. Because frankly, I would have gone with the bigger names if I was going to sell. Like, I would have tried to move Danielle Hunter. Like if you're going to trade Christian Kirk, like, it's kind of like what, you know, the Jets are doing, where they're trading their big names, but not all their big names. So if you're going to trade one guy, you might as well trade them all. But doing nothing, to me, like, it just doesn't really make sense. There's no logic behind it. Like, if you're, I would have disagreed with going all in and trying to fix this team immediately, like what Jerry Jones is doing in Dallas, but to do nothing, I don't get it. Like Christian Kirk would have made sense. I didn't think about Dalton Schultz. That's a name that I did not cross my mind in terms of a guy that you could have traded. You know, who knows if Cade Stover is going to play this year, but to your point, it's not really about the football this year. It's about the long-term future. And they just decided, nope, we're just going to keep it a status quo, which to me, like, it makes me wonder what they really think about this team. Like, I think back to what D'Amico would tell us all the time at the beginning of the season, that they're close. Like, maybe that's why they're, like, we don't want to, you know, in case we're wrong, we don't want to trade away draft capital, but we also don't want to give up on guys because we think we're close. That's what concerns me.
Yeah.
If they actually think that.
They're sacrificing. And look, I understand that the long-term gain of what we just talked about with those draft picks isn't substantial. Like, I understand that. We're talking about fifth, sixth round picks. Like, that's not substantial. I get it. But they're with the trade-off they're telling you, based on their actions, and they're never going to say this with their words, but I don't care about their words. They're always lying through their teeth anyways. I judge based on action. Action's going to tell you more than what words will ever tell you. Based on their actions today, they are telling you that they are willing to trade off some of their future perspective. Not a lot, some. Some of their future prospects for a chance of this team making a run. And I think that's a wrong decision.
Yeah. I also, like, the Daniil Hunter one will be interesting to revisit, I think, in the offseason. Because to me, that's where I would still be looking to move him at some point in the offseason. You didn't have to move him today. But you think about the long-term future of this team and this roster and how it's going to be constructed going forward. Like, some of these guys you could move in the offseason, but to the guys, to your point, that are under contract or no longer under contract, like, this was your window. And you just passed on it. So I think the NFL trade deadline in general should be way more active. Like, I think these teams that are all in the position of the Texans that just sit on their hands, I don't get it. I know you need two to tango, but like the fact that six trades today is one of the highest in NFL history is crazy to me. It should look way more like what Major League Baseball looks like. I can't believe in this sport where winning matters so much that you get to the deadline and it's so inactive for whatever reason. It's totally illogical to me.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. That's why I like the bravado. I like going 2 feet into whatever you decide is best for your organization. That's why I don't mind the Colts trading two firsts for an established all-pro corner. That's why I love what the Jets did. I mean, why hold on to Quinnen Williams? You're losing all the games with him. You're losing all the games with Sauce Gardner. Why not just totally revamp your draft capital going forward? I'm an all-in guy. I'm an all-in whether it's winning. I'm an all-in guy whether it's a rebuild. 2 feet where you are. The whole on-the-fence stuff annoys me. It's not Caserio-like, which is why, you know, just throwing out the little bit of a tinfoil hat there. I wonder if they had the mandate. 713-780-3776. We'll get your thoughts. Texans quiet, idle at the deadline. 713-780-3776. And we'll talk about some of these other trades, too. I thought there was one receiver that kind of flew under the radar today that I think can change the outlook of this specific football team. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
YouTube TV customers, get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday Night Football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back.
This is ESPN 97.5. With Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
YouTube TV customers, get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday Night Football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Back now, go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. 4025 is spamming our chat with praise of us. Love you guys. You guys know ball. Really learn everything from you guys. Learn something new each day. Keep up the great work.
Is that accurate?
Don't send us that nice stuff, man. It's a little, I mean, it's flattering, but it's making me a little uncomfortable. Junkie, is baseball the funnest trade deadline? It's not NFL for sure. I would say so.
Yeah, I think right now we'll go with baseball. I think the NFL is trying not to be in the moment here past the NBA. The NBA has been boring the last couple years.
Yeah.
We're not really seeing a lot of movement. Like, it's been a long time since we've seen like these big splash moves at the NBA. They're always rumored and then never happen. So I think it might go MLB, NFL, NBA right now.
I do think the NFL is closing the gap, though. And I think one thing that the NFL has on its side that Major League Baseball and NBA do not have is the fact that it's way more of a national sport. Like, we care about every NFL team. Mm-hmm. We don't care about many Major League Baseball teams outside of Houston. We don't care about many NBA teams outside of Houston. So the NFL does, like, you wouldn't be talking as much today about a big trade between the New York Mets and the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the Mariners a little bit because they're in division, but like the Mets and the Reds, they made a trade today. Like, we're not gonna spend a whole lot of time talking about that. But Sauce Gardner gets traded, Quinnen Williams gets traded. Okay, big news. So the NFL does have the luxury of that,
and their draft picks matter. I think that helps them out a lot. Like, even when you hear, you know, NBA draft picks are involved. Like, there's so many trades, and you go into a lottery system, so you have no faith or no idea where that pick's actually going to fall. And more like this one, you can say, okay, the Cowboys traded away their first-round pick instead of the Packers. We can all kind of tell that's going to be a top 18 pick. And I think that adds to it, too. Helps out a lot. In baseball, no one cares about the draft.
No. Well, that's not true, Joe.
Most people don't care about the draft.
Joe, the Lakers-Dallas trade was a pretty big splash last year. That felt like a one-off, though. That felt like an anomaly.
Was that? That wasn't a deadline day, also, I don't think.
I think it was a few weeks prior, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Something like that. Step it up, guys. Keep making the show better. Bring back Who Said It. Who Said It's not dead. It's just not going to be a weekly thing. And it's also a little bit more difficult now with Eisen in the middle. Junkie, who cares about trading those players for late-round picks? It's irrelevant. It's not, though. Like, it's not irrelevant. Like, do you want Dalton Schultz to play out his contract on a 5-12 football team, or would you like to turn that into a fifth-round pick that you couple with another fifth-round pick and you trade up into the third round and draft the next Nico Collins?
Yeah.
Like, and I understand, well, that's a long shot, Branham. That's a reach. You're right, it is a reach. But it's impossible to do that if you don't trade some of these players for draft picks. And guess what? The NFL is one in the margins. It's not. It's very competitive. It is very hard. So you get incrementally better with every move you make. At least that's the hope. And then you win over time. So the whole, well, you don't need to do that for a fifth-round pick. Just keep Schultz. For what purpose? Unless you think this team is going somewhere this year, the Texans failed by not doing anything today. Same thing with Christian Kirk. Here's another benefit of trading Christian Kirk. He can't play 80% of the snaps. Yeah. That means that Jalen Knoll gets some burn, and the development of Jalen Knoll matters going forward. Higgins gets a little bit more burn. The development of Higgins matters. So just trading them even for nothing allows those guys to develop, and you can be in a better spot in the future years because of their development.
Yeah, the Christian Kirk one is that now that you brought it up, I'm like, yeah, I would have traded your, you know, the seventh round you have from San Francisco and flipped that for a sixth. For Christian Kirk.
Yeah, would you have done it for a late round pick swap?
Yeah.
Would you have traded Kirk in a seventh for a future six?
Yes.
Why not? This team's not a playoff team. You get a little bit better draft pick, and then your youngsters get the chance to get some run.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like it's yeah, I know you pushed back against me yesterday about Knoll's playing time, but I'm still
specifically in that game.
No, sure. But like going forward, like that's not gonna change now. Like we're not anyone that has expectations that, you know, Kirk's role is going to diminish and Knoll's role is going to increase throughout the season. I can't believe that because I don't think it should be happening in this last game the way that it was. Like, they're going to keep running their veterans out there, and they could have solved that problem today. I do think, like, I do wonder, like, more about now if there was a mandate to, like, just not do anything.
I think it's possible, Joe. Like, it's very uncharacteristic for Nick Caserio to do nothing. Very uncharacteristic. He makes moves. Like some, and look, I understand the NFL trade deadline. You're not going to make as many moves. They're not going to be as splashy. But he makes moves. He makes moves.
Well,
that's what he does.
I do think it's strange that he's so aggressive in the draft, but then not aggressive here during the deadline. And I don't think he ever really has been at this point. Like, but on draft day, he's making 4 or 5 trades a year, it feels like.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Yeah, minimum. He makes so many trades during the draft.
Yeah, he goes crazy. And then this one, he's like, eh, no, it's okay. I'll sit out.
And, like, that's the other thing is that, like, trading guys now for picks positions him better for the draft when he loves to operate. Like, look, it might not have been – like, we don't know, and we'll never know if it was an ownership mandate. And, like, it would come from Hannah, not Cal, because that would be weird coming from Cal. Like, hey, yeah, don't trade those picks. But it could also – and it's probably more likely to be – that they're like, eh, you know, we think this team still has a shot. We don't want to give up on this year's team.
I bet you that's
what they're going to say. I bet you D'Amico says that the next time we hear Nick. I bet you he says that. We don't want to give up on this team. We want to give them a fighting chance. And I think that's flawed logic.
I agree, but that's exactly what they're going to say.
Yeah.
That's why we never thought they would trade a player like Danielle Hunter, because you'd never be able to convince D'Amico that that's the right decision to do something like that.
No. I mean, so, we predicted this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think this was the obvious of – you know, are they going to buy, sell, or do nothing? I think most people would have said they're going to do nothing. Mm-hmm. So this isn't a shocking day. We just don't agree with it.
I would have traded some offensive players like Schultz and Kirk for draft capital and let the young players eat. I don't know about Hunter, but Autry, yes. Stack up draft capital, trade Pierce as well. I just don't think Pierce has any value. Like, I don't even think you're getting a late-round pick swap for Pierce. They might end up cutting Pierce. Making a deal just to make a deal is bad business. We're not making a deal just to make a deal. We're trading from right now for the enhancement of the future. It's not making a deal just to make a deal. We're trading from the immediate for the distance, the distant future, which I think is going to be critical, and I think it's more important because I have more faith in the future years than I do this year. A bunch of late-round picks does nothing. Sell the big names. Who do you want him to sell? You want him to sell C.J. Stroud? Is that what you want him to do?
I mean, Hunter's the only big name that could even be considered at this point. Because, like, you could have had a I could have been open to the Tytus Howard idea, but now that he's in the concussion protocol, that wasn't going to happen.
No.
There's no one else that you would have been like, yeah, this is a good move to make at the deadline. Like, you don't really have pieces to make any kind of splash move or trading guys away. You had like one option and that's it.
All right, two receivers traded today. Which one was the bigger splash? Jacoby Myers going to Jacksonville, or is it Shaheed going to Seattle? 713-780-3776. If you have a gripe, a critique, a compliment about how the Texans handled the trade deadline, go ahead. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I'm not too fond of the general manager's dealing today, his business, his transactions today. But you know who I'm always fond of their dealing and transactions? Monument Chevrolet. They're the dealer you can trust. They're transparent with you. They're not going to hassle you with pricing. They're never on the fence either over there at Monument Chevrolet. They're always 2 feet in. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 5 decades. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, pre-owned vehicles. And then you know what happens? These families keep coming back. And then they get their next car at Monument Chevrolet. And then they tell their kids about Monument Chevrolet. And then their grandkids about Monument Chevrolet. Generations of families keep coming back because they simply trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. It's a unique car buying experience. It's not, you know, and there's horror stories out there. We understand, you know, dealing with dealerships ain't always fun. They're trying to get the most money out of you. They're trying to get the upcharge warranties, the extended warranties, warranties that don't even exist. They're charging you for those suckers. That doesn't happen at Monument Chevrolet. Monument Chevrolet is looking out for you. Family feel there, friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to their fantastic culture. You're going to get a fair deal. You're going to get a transparent deal, and you're going to get a no-hassle deal without wasting your time in aggravating, stressful negotiations, without the stress and anxiety if they're pulling one over on you. You're not going to have to worry about that there. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Now is the time to upgrade your ride. Visit Monument Chevrolet online at monumentchevrolet.com. Check out their inventory, monumentchevrolet.com. Or better yet, go visit them in person, 225 and Beltway 8. Massive dealership, Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet together, let's drive.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
YouTube TV customers, get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Oh, I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. 713-780-3776. 4025 is really making us uncomfortable with these compliments. He's like, I know you don't like the compliments, but I just have to shower you guys in praise. Keep it up. Okay, man. Like, I'm going to have to block you, I think. Jacoby Myers or Rashid Shaheed? Which receiver do you think helps their respective team more? Shaheed traded to Seattle. Jacoby Myers traded to Jacksonville,
Duval.
I think Shaheed makes the bigger impact. And I like Jacoby Myers, but like we think back to the Texans game, just all the targets going to JSN. They've gotten some nice production at times from A.J. Barner this year, but I think it was very clear that Seattle needed another guy. Another deep threat, and this provides them that. So I think he ends up making the bigger impact for them.
Yeah, I kind of Look, I famously said Seattle's the most underrated team in the NFL a few weeks ago, and I think people are jumping on the bandwagon.
Famously.
You could say that I influence people into thinking that Seattle is really, really good, because I was on Seattle before anybody was on Seattle. Everybody's saying it. Even Sports Illustrated is saying it. But I think that he complements that skill player. They don't have a skill player room, but you get my drift here. Him alongside JSN is fascinating to me. You add that kind of creative playmaker next to JSN, who is unbelievable. I think he still leads the league in receiving yards. I haven't looked at the stats this week. I think he complements him nicely. I think he fills out the room too. I think Cooper Kupp is still a very good football player. Now, hurt right now, so he provides some insurance there. And maybe Shaheed's just better than Kupp, so they completely elevated the number two wide receiver position. I like Horton. Horton's not a bad rookie, but he's a rookie. So it really fulfills that room. I think it lifts them up slightly, and it gives Darnold an extra weapon, and Darnold's been low-key really good. The other thing here, and it took me a while before I eventually got to this thought, who was New Orleans' offensive coordinator last year?
Oh, Clint Kubiak.
Who is Seattle's offensive coordinator this year?
Clint Kubiak.
So he knows him well. So, like, the fact that he probably co-signed on that and gave it his seal of approval – makes it seem to me that organization really wanted him and that they already have an idea for him. So I think he's going to help them a lot.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, JSN obviously has been amazing. When you look at his target share, it's something like 35%, some ungodly number that you don't see. Even like Michael Thomas, when he had his record-breaking year in 2019, is not doesn't feel sustainable. Eventually, you run into a defense that can just double that one guy you throw to nearly 40% of the time and take it away. So to get a second weapon like Shaheed, especially one that Clint Kubiak is that familiar with, feels like a no-brainer. I mean, the Jaguars made sense to get Jacoby Myers because Travis Hunter hurt. Brian Thomas seems like he's hurt. Parker Washington had to kind of step up out of nowhere last week. But I think as far as impact on the field, it's definitely Shaheed.
Yeah, I like the Jacoby Myers move too for the Jags. But part of, like, which one's going to make the bigger impact? Well, one has a better quarterback. Like one quarterback I trust to get his receiver the football versus the other one. Like, does it really matter if Jacoby Myers is in Jacksonville, if Trevor doesn't throw him the ball or throws him accurately? Like, yeah. Sam Darnold, he's got a weapon now. Like, and think back to, remember last year, it's a really small sample size. But they scored like 50 points the first two games. Like 80 points the first two games of the season last year, the Saints. They went crazy with Shaheed and Kubiak. So I like this move a lot, and it just makes them more dangerous at this point this season. So it's a good move for both teams. For both receivers they acquired, but I think it impacts Seattle in the long term a lot more.
Yeah, were you surprised that Jacksonville did that?
No, I think what Brian pointed out
they're so needy for receiver.
Yeah, like if Brian Thomas Jr. is hurt, and a lot of people think his wrist is bothering him, and that's leading to these drops.
He's got an ankle injury now too.
Yeah, you've got Travis Hunter, who they're saying as of right now is only going to be out, the next 3 weeks. But then you have to reevaluate. It's not a season-ending injury like it seemed like it was in the moment because it was non-contact. They need that other guy And they're in position to be in the playoffs right now, so it makes sense why they added. I like that move for them too, because Jacoby Myers, he's good.
And they didn't give up much to get him. It was a fourth and a sixth. Maybe Jacoby Myers isn't worth a fourth and a sixth, but I get because of the injuries they had, the need there to go ahead and make that move.
Sunday's big for the Texans, by the way. Very big.
Season over? They lose?
I don't call must-win games unless they're must-win games, Joe.
I didn't say that.
Might be a crazy thought, but do we actually want them to win?
No.
I don't think I do either.
No, I want them to have as good of a draft. That's why I want them to sell today. Yeah. I want them to sell today. I want them to get a really good draft pick, and I wanted to reset going into next year. Because I think they're a good reset away from being, a really good football team again, or a good football team again. 4447, since you guys are getting compliments, let me level it out. Just kidding. Can't do it. You guys are the best. Stop it, you guys. The Jets have made out this trade deadline. All those picks, assuming their front office knows how to use them, should make that team much better quickly. I love what the Jets did today. You know what a lot of people are saying right now, Joe, is that, they're stockpiling these picks, and they're going to go get their franchise quarterback. They might not have to. Like, they could have the number one pick of the draft and draft their franchise quarterback and then have all of these draft picks on top of it. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty fascinating. Like, if I could buy stock, and this is dangerous to do because they're the Jets. They're infamously the Jets. But if I could buy stock on a team right now, because the Jets wouldn't cost you a whole lot, you know?
Yeah.
The Jets wouldn't cost you a whole lot on the ticker. I'm kind of bullish about their future. Like, have you seen this little treasure chest of draft picks they have going forward? It's insane.
Yeah, I do think I would have liked to see them do a little bit more today still and just like and like really push in. Like, Breece Hall, Connor Hughes, who covers the Jets, is reporting that there was an offer on the table for a fourth rounder for Breece Hall to the Kansas City Chiefs, but they were locked in on getting a third. I probably just would have made that move and just gotten the fourth rounder, even though it's potentially the last pick of the fourth round. I just would have done it anyways. I probably would have moved on from Garrett Wilson because he's going to get more unhappy.
I disagree there.
Really?
I disagree there. Yeah, because I want because I'm assuming they're going to draft a rookie quarterback. They could just draft Mendoza number one, and if he's good, great. And you have all these other draft picks. I do like to have a soft landing spot for my rookie quarterback.
He helps.
Like, I want a good receiver there for that rookie QB. So I'm okay with them keeping Garrett Wilson. Hall, I agree with you.
Yeah, and the hard part about this draft is like, and that's why I like that they invested in the long-term draft and not focusing on this year as much, because all these quarterbacks who could be an option for the Saints and the Jets and the Dolphins and the Browns at the top of this draft class, all the best ones can go back to college. So like they've kind of protected themselves in a way that if Mendoza decides, you know what, I'm gonna do one more year at Indiana, if Dante Moore says the same thing, like they can just push it off till next year, take the best player available with a 1-3 pick in 2026, and then worry about the quarterback in the future and just roll with Justin Fields or Tyrod Taylor for another year and just wait it out.
Yeah, I'm fascinated with what the Jets look like in 2030. What do they look like in 2030? They have two firsts next year. Theirs and the Colts. They have two seconds. Theirs and the Cowboys. And then in 27, they have three firsts. They have theirs, they have Indies, and then they have the best of Dallas and Green Bay.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And if they don't have to stockpile those picks for a franchise quarterback and they can just draft one, dang. Because, like, you think that the price for a franchise quarterback is usually like three first, right? Well, if you can just draft one without having to combine these first rounders together, that's really going to help out their whole roster. You're going to have a rookie quarterback on a rookie scale, contract scale, and then you're going to have potentially 6-7 first and second round picks over the next 2 years.
Yeah.
It's insane.
They've got great draft capital at this point. Like they are in a position to where if they hit on their picks, they can build something very nicely and should be able to do it pretty quickly.
You're nuts. Texans are one offensive coordinator away from being a very good football team. We can't give up now. Yeah, but you're not getting that in season. The soonest that is coming is in the offseason. So that's kind of like it kind of really interferes with your point there. The Jets will screw up every draft pick. That's probably a fair point. 2681, you guys rock. Love what you're doing. Trade Anderson or Stingley. How many first-round picks does that get you? I mean, I think you could have gotten two firsts for Stingley.
Well, Stingley gets you two. I think Will Anderson gets you two as well.
Yeah.
Because that's what Micah Parsons went for.
You guys rock. Love the Killer Jays. Dalton Schultz is better than a fifth-round pick. Yeah, he is, but he's in the final year of his contract. Are you extending Dalton Schultz?
No.
Is that what you're doing? 6104. Love the show, guys. Keep up the great work. Thank you. How many picks did you say? 6-7. Not doing that. Not saying 6-7. Not going to do that on the show. Joe and Brian got mad at me for saying 6-7 other day.
You did do it, though.
What's that?
You did do it.
I don't know what you're talking about. 713-780-3776. Should I read their phone number backwards? 713-780-ESPN. Rockets yesterday won a basketball game. They beat the Mavericks. What do we think of that? It is Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All right, but before we go to break, let me talk to you about Old Humble Distilling Company, Houston's finest micro-distillery. Rockets obviously exciting right now. One way to make that game even more exciting, watching the Rockets beat the Mavericks even more exciting, is, of course, with a drink from Old Humble Distilling Company. I'd probably recommend their Boomtown Bourbon, but their Special Reserve and the Double Oak Rye, also very good as well. And friendly reminder, Old Humble Distilling Company now has new hours, more time each day, each week, to try their fantastic spirits, including the Double Oak Rye, which I'm currently obsessed with because we had a couple of cocktails made at the live remote we did a few weeks ago, and it was fantastic. They're now open Tuesday through Saturday, 3 to 9. So stop by after work, stop by on the weekend, stop by anytime, and try my personal favorite cocktail, the one I had at the remote, the award-winning Maple Cinnamon Sour, which won Best Drink at the Lake Houston Taste of the Town Awards last year and uses the double oak rye that I mentioned a second ago. In addition to extended hours, they also have events nearly every night at the tasting room, including their happy hour with $8 cocktails on Wednesdays until they close, trivia night on Thursdays, and they've added steak nights on Tuesdays tonight. Head out there tonight for some steak and whiskey. Sounds like a perfect night to me. Go visit their distillery and tasting room at 19103 Continental Parkway, just off FM 1960 in Humble. Remember, steak night is tonight, and also check out their selection of premium whiskeys at oldhumbledistilling.com. Can't make it out to the tasting room? No problem. Look for a bottle of their Double Oak Rye or Special Reserve at Specs, Total Wine, or find a retailer's. Can't find it? Just ask for Old Humble Distilling Company by name. Try Old Humble Distilling Company, because life's too short for factory whiskey.
ESPN 97.5.